Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the weekend. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Big news of the day worldwide will be President Trump and President Xi having a talk. China and the U.S. among the topics will be tariffs, trade, and TikTok. Meanwhile,
a lot of alliteration in that little doodad there,
yeah,
Larry.
I had to think that through before we continue. So the controversy over Jimmy Kimmel has sparked a debate about free speech, and last night...
Tonight, we are all Jimmy Kimmel.
From late-night peers to legends like David Letterman.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian.
A resounding rebuke of ABC's decision to indefinitely suspend Jimmy Kimmel Live after Kimmel's comments about the alleged killer of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in a monologue.
The MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Two major TV station groups, Nexstar and Sinclair, quickly announced they'd preempt the show just hours after Trump-appointed FCC Chairman Brendan Carr threatened broadcasters who failed to take action against Kimmel. Nexstar is currently seeking FCC approval for a $6.2 billion merger with another media company, Tegna. Thursday, Carr suggested it's just the beginning.
This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem, and I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
On Air Force One, President Trump more direct about what could happen to broadcasters.
They give me only bad publicity from the press. I mean, they're getting a license. I would think maybe their license should be taken away.
Ana Gomez, the only Democrat-appointed FCC commissioner, called Kimmel's suspension a dangerous new precedent.
Congressional Democrats are calling on an investigation into the FCC chair. Meanwhile, even if ABC brings Kimmel back, Sinclair, which operates the most ABC affiliates in the country, says they won't bring the show back unless Jimmy Kimmel offers an on-air apology and donates to Kirk's company, Turning Point USA. So far, no comment from Jimmy Kimmel.
CBS's Jared Hill.
I read an interesting account about the decision to take Kimmel off the air, at least temporarily, Larry. A story in the New York Post outlines that the head of ABC discussed this situation with Kimmel on Wednesday. The conversation was about what Kimmel was planning to say on the program about the controversy. And after that discussion, the head of ABC talked with Bob Iger, who's the chairman of Disney. And between the head of ABC and Bob Iger, they made the determination that instead of allowing Jimmy to say what he was going to say, they felt that that was going to make the situation worse. Jimmy apparently was going to double down on his attack against the, I guess he calls them MAGA Republicans or something like that. So, and this, of course, has ignited an interesting debate in the country now, because we're talking about broadcast licenses here. The actual networks themselves don't have licenses, do they? It's the stations that they own. That's in places correct. Like, for example, CBS, I guess it's called now Paramount something else. But anyway, Paramount has the license for KDKA-TV here in Pittsburgh, for example.
There are a lot of changes on a large scale with the ownership of these networks and groups.
And there are deals in the works right now that could be jeopardized, that need regulatory approval, right? That could be jeopardized by something like this controversy.
So somebody said, well, I see people on the internet saying all kind of stuff. Well, there's a big difference. Those people are not under a FCC license to maintain a certain standard.
But to bring it to the local level, Larry, if you were to say something like Jimmy Kimmel said on your program, and there was pushback from the community, sponsors, and critics, you know, what would happen to you? Would they suspend you? Would they let you go? I mean, there'd be some kind of a reaction, wouldn't there?
Well, there could be.
You know, I mean, the truth is that we work for a company, and the company has its own standards, and we have the right to free speech, but we also have to, you know, well, speak in such a way to maintain our employment, right?
As Marty Griffin and then Colin Dunlap followed yesterday, in this case, it's about money.
It absolutely is. I couldn't agree more.
The companies are in the throes of these big mergers and sales, and they don't want anything like the federal government to come down on them.
At a time when ratings for broadcast television are going down. Another thing I found out this morning was Kimmel's audience was down almost 40% since 2015. That's a
so
huge
in a
10 drop.
Year, yeah, and to be fair, a lot of that is also due to people have other options.
Well, exactly. And, I don't know what cause that it would. Yeah, I'm not saying that he was alienating people by any means. I agree with you. There's just so many other places for people to go, and so broadcast television is having a harder time selling advertising. That's what they were saying when they let the other fellow go, Colbert, right?
Yeah, he's ending his show at the end. The show itself is gone at the end of this year.
They were saying they were losing $20 million a year, and that circles back to the point that was made, that you made again, about the money.
And it used to be back in the day when Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, they were making mega money because they had a mega audience.
And they had market cornered. By the way, they dug up and repeated what Johnny Carson said in an article I read yesterday about staying away from the big controversial issues. People don't want that, he said. They want to be entertained. They want a light laugh before they go to bed at night.
That's why they sold out Adam Sandler and PPG Paints tomorrow night.
Exactly.
As an example.
Yep. It's the reason why we haven't ever had a controversy that has your name involved in it.
Well,
right?
Here's another option, and I haven't heard anyone say this, and it's so simple. If you don't like what somebody's talking about on television, don't watch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your own decision. You just make that decision. I'm not being entertained anymore. It's not funny. Whatever it is, well, you have the choice to change the channel.
We have a historical event, however, that has now become the point of political capital. And the people at the very top of the pyramid are fighting fiercely over that. And in fact, you could hear that playing out in the story that you just aired from CBS, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is another factor, and that is Disney, Disney Plus, Hulu, owned by Disney and ESPN. There are a number of people, thousands of people saying, well, you canceled him, we're canceling you. They're streaming services.
Exactly. I mean, it's a vicious circle, isn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see where it goes, but it has a lot of people fired up. Weekday afternoons with Colin Dunlap. Brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. So the weekend is here. There's a huge jazz festival that's going on. And for people that don't know, Pittsburgh has a really rich history of jazz that dates back to Wiley Avenue days in the Hill District. Actually, there's been movies made about the talent that's come from here. And the jazz festival is going to take over Liberty Avenue this weekend. Branford Marcellus will lead the way.
Man, what a fantastic show that'll be.
15th annual Pittsburgh International Jazz Festival. So Marcellus and his quartet. He's got this insanely talented group of musicians. You like jazz, Aaron?
Yeah, I was going to say, can I say something that might shock you guys?
No, I don't expect to be shocked by this at all, Aaron.
I grew up a jazz baby.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, my dad, huge on jazz. My mom, more like R&B, like classical, you know, what you would imagine, like moving, dancing type of songs. But my dad, all about jazz.
The festival on Liberty Avenue Saturday and Sunday begins with a sold-out tribute to George Benson at the August Wilson Center. That's tonight.
By the way, Larry, as just a sidebar, there's a neighborhood just adjacent to the French Quarter in New Orleans called Treme. And at the time I was living in New Orleans, there was a club there called Snug Harbor. And it was not unusual, if you were there, for Wynton Marsalis or one of his brothers or several of them to stop in and jam just out of nowhere.
That's actually pretty cool.
It's one of the great benefits of living in New Orleans, which is a great jazz town.
So Saturday and Sunday, they got a whole list, and there's a name you might not know, but you'd know his face, Keith David. He was an actor in the movie Platoon.
He was also in An Officer and a Gentleman, I think, right?
Yeah, and he is a jazz artist first and foremost, he says, but actor. He's also a voiceover artist, and you've heard this guy's voice on so many projects. He narrates a lot of the documentaries. He's right up there. Maybe I would say Morgan Freeman is number one.
No, this is another Keith David I'm thinking of. Yep. I know who you're talking about now. This guy's got a wonderful voice.
Yeah, he's going to be here. So it's a big weekend for music. And we mentioned Adam Sandler at PPG Paints, and then you've got the Three Stooges Film Festival at the Harris Theater in the midst of all this. I'd be curious just to go down and see who's going to that.
What a crowd that'll right. be. An interesting mixture of interesting people.
There's a great story about when Paul Shannon at WTAE-TV back in the day, he had this show called Adventure Time, and he helped revive the Three Stooges' career. So they came in, and one of the young guys was sent to pick them up. And the guy admitted, now they had a station wagon that was a company car, and the guy admitted years later that he had smoked some weed and then went to pick up the Three Stooges.
So that, what?
This is, yeah. So check this out. So
whoa.
He said he picked them up at the airport, and the three of them are sitting in the back seat together. And he said he had an out-of-body experience looking in the rearview mirror.
I'm sure he did.
Just in the back seat.
He wanted to amplify his experience.
Yeah. Apparently.
Crazy, huh?
This was, of course, that is illegal to do. And
behind the wheel?
Don't recommend that Whoa. For anybody. International Snake Bite Awareness Day. International Talk Like a Parent Day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Which is a big deal here for Pirates fans since we got the A's in town. Yes, I don't know who comes up with these, but we've seen this before. Talk like a parrot day.
I like how random they are.
Talk like a pirate or a parrot?
Pirate.
Oh, okay.
What did I say? Parrot.
Yeah, wait.
Talk like a parrot. Talk like a parrot.
That was good. But I was thinking, I'm like, have we heard that before?
No, I'm sorry. Bad Bunny. Who's from Puerto Rico. He's a very popular recording artist, right?
Yes.
His house was used. This guy in Puerto Rico is suing Bad Bunny for $1 million for emotional distress because apparently his house was used in Bad Bunny's short film in January. He says now people are showing up and taking pictures of his house and bothering him. He claims that he's been stripped of his privacy and he wants $1 million.
You know, that whole thing with celebrities getting sued for things such as this reminds me of when you said that guy won the lottery, had to change his number and all that. It's like
change his name.
Yeah.
Too.
Once people know that you have
something
money that's unthinkable, you know, they're just like, you know what? I've been having migraines for 2 weeks straight, and you owe me.
And what did Cardi B, what did she get sued for? She was cleared of...
Yeah, so Cardi B, in her, like, New York OG days, I think just had a really aggressive personality. So she was getting sued for her treatment towards another woman, like what she said. And I think there were rumors that she pushed her. Now Cardi B's pregnant, and Cardi B was like, no, I didn't say this, I said this. And next time someone tries to sue me for something so minuscule, I'm going to sue back where your grandkids are paying me. That's verbatim what
My
she said.
My goodness.
She to Gayle King.
Not the least bit upset, right?
She said that yesterday.
I saw her interview, but I didn't hear any of it. I could just see the pictures.
That was the money shot.
Yeah, that's
I'll
a strong.
I'll sue you so your grandkids will be paid.
That's a strong remark.
Wow, don't be angry.
Go Cardi B, huh? Yeah.
Cardi B.
Don't stop her.
K Morning Show, we're living in rarefied air weather-wise here. By tomorrow, it'll be the 14th straight day without rain, and we may go beyond that. And joining us from AccuWeather World Headquarters, meteorologist Chad Merle. Chad, good morning.
Good morning. It has been a very dry stretch. And on top of what you mentioned, when you factor in August 1st through September 18th, it's been the second driest stretch of that time period in Pittsburgh, with a total of 1.97 inches of rain. So the second driest period from August 1st to September 18th.
That's significant, and my grass can be a testament to that. It's dried up, but don't worry, it goes dormant. It'll come back eventually with some rain. So that's the million-dollar question, Chad. When will we see rain?
Yeah, so not until Monday or Tuesday, one or two thunderstorms in the area, but what we need is a drenching rain. There is a bit of a pattern change, though, late next week into the weekend that will bring us at least a couple of showers and maybe even occasional period of rain, and that'll be all the way through probably about Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week. So, yes, it will rain a bit later next week into the early part of the following week, probably still end up below average for rainfall for the month of September.
Now, people are asking, Chad, as you know, we enjoy such beautiful fall foliage in this region of the country. How will this drought-like condition affect that?
It causes the trees to shut down early, A, because we're losing daylight, but B, because they want to conserve the water that they already have so they can not die, basically. So you're probably already seeing a couple of leaves starting to drop off the trees already. So the drought is going to cause some early leaf fall, and the peak of the fall foliage in the Pittsburgh area will be right around mid-October. So a little bit shorter in time, or closer in time to now, than what we typically see. You know, we typically see October 20th through the 23rd as the peak fall foliage. It'll be about a week earlier in the Pittsburgh area, and the colors won't be nearly as bright as they would be if we had plenty of rain. One thing that's helping the pattern, though, is that we've had some cool nights and some warm days, so that does help the foliage a bit. But the drought causes the leaves to look a lot drier and not emanating that vibrant color that we would love to see if there was a little bit more moisture in the soil.
Yeah, and Erin, our producer, she's a new homeowner, Chad. You know, she lives in the forest. You see a lot of leaves coming down?
Yes, I am. Randomly, mm-hmm. too. And it's like shocking. They're just brown. There was no red
transition.
Or, yeah, they're just brown.
And I've learned over the years, Chad, that the leaf colors are always there. You just don't see them until the chlorophyll leaves the leaves, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and that happens with the change of daylight. Once we start to lose a lot of daylight in September, that's when you start to see those colors start to shine. We have some, right now in the Laurel Highlands to the east of Pittsburgh, there's been some change as well. But even in the Laurel Highlands, it's been very dry, and those areas will see leaf drop a little bit earlier and not nearly as bright as we would like to see. And then by the middle part of October. And of course, if we get a big windstorm, for example, late this month or early next month, with the cold front coming through, that'll blow even more of the the leaves off. So hopefully we won't have a big windstorm, because that'll really take the leaves down before they can change color, so to speak.
Well, you know what? What we haven't had for so long in Pittsburgh is a stretch of sunny weather, too, in consecutive days. And it's been pretty much sunny for the last 2 weeks.
Yes, it has been, with this persistent high pressure that has been in place, and that has led to some pretty deep blue sky, low humidity. That's another thing with this drought, is you're not going to see nearly as much moisture in the atmosphere, so the dew points are lower, and that's one of the reasons why the night times can be a little bit on the cooler side. One other thing that the drought does do, besides limit the amount of moisture and make it a lot less humid, and especially for September, is that it limits the amount of fog that you can have in the early part of the morning hours. Typically, we get a lot of foggy mornings. But if we get a little bit of rain later this month, then we'll pick up some of that moisture, some of that fog in the early morning. It also limits the amount of frost you can have with a dry soil when we get to the time of the year when we typically get the first frost, which is usually mid to late October.
Chad, appreciate the update. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend as well.
All right, meteorologist Chad Merle from AccuWeather. So there you have it, Aaron.
I love hearing the scientific.
Pretty comprehensive.
Yeah, backing of what we're seeing.
The chlorophyll is what makes the leaves look green. And as the chlorophyll dissipates, it reveals the colors in the leaves. And colors are actually a wave, like sound waves, light waves. And so it's pretty fantastic.
I love that, honestly.
And while we're talking weather, just I was curious about tropical storms and hurricanes, because we haven't heard anything here in the last few weeks. It's been very quiet. There is a tropical storm, Gabrielle, out in the Atlantic, but it's expected to become a hurricane this weekend, but not impact Florida or the United States mainland at all. So, fingers crossed. And that's good news for all the folks in Florida and along the East Coast.
Yeah, I'll continuously think they have a special ability on them to because handle
it. Yeah.
You know?
All right, then in terms of getting your leaf blower ready, game on.
Last night in Aliquippa.
I don't want to tell the police how to do their job, but please don't come to Lemoore and start killing our children.
Yeah, Larry, that woman reacting in the moments after a 17-year-old Aliquippa High School student was shot by an ATF agent during a joint operation with the FBI.
And Aliquippa Mayor Dwan Walker asking for calm and sort through the details to try to temper the reaction.
And the details right now, Larry, are very few this morning. Jimmy Kimmel's absence on ABC was comedy fodder last night for The Late Show on CBS. Stephen Colbert jokingly upset he didn't have more time to celebrate his Emmy win over Jimmy Kimmel Live.
To Jimmy, just let me say, I stand with you and your staff 100%. And also, you couldn't let me enjoy this for like 1 week. Just come on.
We all need a laugh. And Adam Sandler's going to be PPG Paints tomorrow if you need a laugh.
Speaking of good laughs, right? Aaron Rodgers talked about the handling of a week two loss heading into Foxborough on Sunday as he chatted with reporters this week.
I haven't seen anybody hanging their heads. And the most important thing, like I said after the game, is it's a marathon, not a sprint. You can't ride the ups and downs. You have to embrace the results that happen and take a look at your process every single week, whether it's a win on the scoreboard or a loss.
Yeah, yeah. Spoken like a seasoned veteran.
What he said, right?
What he said.
And, oh, by the way, the Penguins opened training camp with their brand new coach yesterday.
Yeah, up at the UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex, featuring 69 players, including prospects, and is open to the public. And they have a big hockey tournament up there through the weekend. There are people from all over the country that come to that Lemieux Center in Cranberry. You don't live that far from it.
I look at the Lemieux Center from the curb as I get on the interstate every morning on the way to work.
Say hi to Mario for me and said, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Just to reiterate what transpired in Aliquippa, Paul, a lot of people will be focused on this story.
Yeah, some new details are available from the Allegheny County Medical Examiner's Office, who are reporting that 18-year-old Kendrick Curtis, a student at Aliquippa High School, died this morning around 3 a.m. at Allegheny General. He was flown there from the scene of a shooting in Aliquippa at Linmar Terrace, Larry. The only thing we know right now from state police in a statement is that ATF and FBI agents were working together at the time in a joint investigation, and that is it. And obviously, Mayor Walker was quick to share a message of let's restrain any response from the community and calling for calm until we know all the facts. And so some of those are emerging.
We've reached out to Mayor Walker, and I'm sure he's got his hands full now, but he's very responsive, so we expect to hear from him at some point this morning. Thank you. Tomorrow will make 14 straight days without rain in Pittsburgh, and as we learned from meteorologist Chad Merle of AccuWeather, since August 1st now, this is the second driest period in history in this region. And naturally, that affects a lot of things. We go live to Sorgel's Orchards in the Wexford area, Franklin Park. Adam Ball. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Randy Sorgel says you're the guy that knows the effect of the weather on the crops. So what is the situation for you and everybody that's waiting for some rain?
Yeah, it's been a tough year so far, but yeah, everything's really starting to show some real stress because of how dry it has been, and it's been kind of difficult here. We're trying to water everything we can possibly get to, and try to keep things going.
So about the water, how does that change economics for Sorgel's? We're talking about a lot of water here, right? How much more?
Yeah, so we, unfortunately, on some of the properties, we don't actually have access to water. Some of the other ones, we have ponds that we're able to do, but just the running the pumps and all the electric and stuff for that is an added cost. And then some of the other farms, we actually use city water, so we're paying for the water for every gallon we use. And that does add up to a pretty good number.
Yeah, that said, which crops are most at risk right now?
So pretty much everything is kind of at risk because of how extensive the drought has been and how long it's been. A lot of even the apples now are starting to show the stress, even the perennial crops. The trees themselves, we're actually we're taking tanks of water out and watering each individual tree on some of my younger trees because the root systems really aren't very, very big yet. So we're actually taking the time to water each one, but you can actually see the stress in the trees now. They're starting to shut down a little bit. They're maybe going to go early dormancy just to try to conserve energy and moisture. So they're really showing it. And a lot of our pumpkins and that sort of stuff, those plants are showing the stress too. They're starting to shut down and shrivel up. So some of the size of different things maybe isn't quite where I'd like it to be, but that's life.
Adam, tell us, how does this change the harvest time frame?
Yes, especially in the apple trees with the added stress, some of the varieties, because every variety of apple kind of has their peak ripeness, so you're trying to find that optimal day to pick. And it's kind of trending a few days, if not even a week ahead of schedule, compared to what a normal year would maybe be, just because of the added stress to that tree. They're trying to produce that fruit and get that fruit going a little bit quicker.
You know, we're with Adam Ball with Sorgel's Orchards. You know, a lot of people, obviously their grass is dormant, but at this point, it's not worth spending the money to water it for a lot of people. I noticed that. But it is dormant, right? It will come back.
Yeah, most everything will be coming back, those perennials. They're not too pretty right now, but most everything will be coming back.
Appreciate the time. I know September into October, this is your super busy retail season too, because, you know, Pumpkin Fest, Oktoberfest, and all the things you do. So you'll still be rolling, right?
Oh, yes. There's always something going on, that's for sure.
Appreciate you taking the time, Adam. Thanks. And tell Randy I said hello.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
You got it.
And as a sidebar, Larry, I was reading with interest about this project that's underway now that PennDOT is reconfiguring the interchange there at 79 and 910. And guess who has property adjacent to all the work that's going on?
Sorgel's.
Right. But fortunately, the way that it's going to work out apparently is that it's not going to disturb much, if any, of the production that they have there near the road.
Yeah, but the question I have, that is a massive project.
My goodness.
They're talking about flyover ramps, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's a bottleneck now, but in the process of doing the build-out, man, that is just, you see the traffic backed up. When I drive back to the city, so I did this event last night for the Marine Corps Scholarship Fund, and I was going back to the city. I left that Wexford area around 5, driving south on 79 to 279. It was backed all the way to the split.
Oh, yeah.
To try to get off.
Yeah, northbound, right?
Yeah, northbound. You know, of course, it is 5 o'clock in rush hour.
Even in the middle of the day, when I'm heading home, I'll often stop and do my car washing on the way home at the car wash on the other side of the interstate.
Right.
You exit, you know, there, and you get down to that intersection. That's this massive, you know, it's almost a double intersection, right? And it's just amazing to me, even at the midday hour, how much congestion and confusion there is at that spot. But this project that PennDOT is undertaking is going to do away with all of that knot, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a massive project. They have some of the equipment. They move some of that stuff in place.
Yeah, but they've got a gigantic sand pile building up there.
We'll
yeah.
see how that goes. We'll keep you posted here. In fact, Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen and Aaron Ferragonio is our producer. It's been another unbelievable week on so many levels. And also, we have, by the way, Pennsylvania's treasurer with us, Stacey Garrity. Treasurer Garrity, good morning.
Hey, Larry. How are you? Great to be with you.
Good. Back in the day, we would talk, and it would be about you've got money for people. That's still real, but you set up this really tremendous way for people to find out and access that just in case.
That's right. Yeah, we just sent out, 70,000 checks this past week, totaling just about $16 million.
Is that right?
Then even your listeners get a check. Yeah, cash it. It's your money.
I know you're coming to Pittsburgh here, and we'll talk about that in just a second, but just from a practical standpoint, how does the state get money from people in the first place that they don't know they have in many cases?
Oh, my gosh. So after 3 years, financial institutions, by law, have to send it to the state. So this could be a dormant bank account, an old checking account. It could be, you know, a rebate, an insurance check. I mean, you name it. It could be so many different things, a safe deposit box. And so we work really hard to get it back to people because, you know what, this money does not belong to the state. It belongs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To hardworking Pennsylvanians that earned it. And so far, since I took office, we've given back over $1 billion, but there's still a lot there. So we're trying to get it out. So you're referring to Pennsylvania Money Match, which is a fantastic program. First time ever starting this year that we are allowed to proactively return money back to people that don't even know they have it. So up to $500
and
for a single owner.
That website, you made it really easy because I went through this process to see how it goes. What's that website again?
So it's patreasury.gov/unclaimedproperty. Takes just a couple minutes. It's so easy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Anyway, also, you're coming to Pittsburgh, and you had recently announced you want to be the governor, too. So I assume this is pretty early in the process to do this, but here we go.
Yes, here we go. And I will be in Pittsburgh on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, the 23rd. We're doing a Help Is On The Way tour, so we'll be in Allison Park at 7 o'clock. So I hope that we can get a lot of people to come out and join us.
Yeah, that's at the new, relatively new Cadence Clubhouse right there adjacent to North Park. A lot of people in that area know that very well. So what's your message? What are you trying to tell us?
What I'm trying to say is, you know, help is on the way. If you want tens of thousands of jobs, if we want to create billions and billions of dollars of economic opportunity for our communities, consider voting for me. We do not have to be a mediocre state. If you want school choice for your kids, if you think parents should be in the driver's seat of their kids' education, if you don't want boys competing against your girls in sports, there's a whole host of reasons. If you want safe communities, then, you know, let's turn our state around. We have a wonderful, tremendous opportunity to do it, and we can. We can be leading the nation, and we should be.
This job, as you well know, comes with some heavy responsibilities, and it seems like it's never been more challenging right now in the current atmosphere that we're living in with all the controversies that are going on. You ready to handle all that?
Sure am. I served in the military for 30 years, and so I'm 100% focused on the mission, accomplishing the mission. And, you know, when you're in a foxhole in the desert, people don't ask what your political affiliation is. They just want to know that you have their back. And I do.
And I know that, for instance, this whole free speech thing, there's so many different issues to handle. And it's remarkable how many times these things fall down to the governors of the states.
That's right. And we need leaders that will lead. We need a leader that will show up, roll up their sleeves, and get the job done. Not somebody that's off, you know, in other states raising money with guys like George Soros for their presidential campaign. We need somebody that's going to be, you know, 100% laser focused on helping hardworking Pennsylvanians. And that's what I do every day. Every day that I get to wake up and serve Pennsylvanians is truly a blessing.
Well, as the treasurer, when are we getting a budget, do you know? Are they talking to you?
Not a whole lot. Of course, that's up to the legislators, as you know. What my drumbeat has been, do not dip into the rainy day fund, because the original number that the governor did suggest would wipe out our entire surplus plus part of the rainy day fund in 1 year. We'd be totally out of money in 2 years. And then you know what that means, Larry. That means everybody's taxes would increase because nobody's going to stop spending money. I mean, legislators on both sides of the aisle, they love to spend every one of your taxpayer dollars. And so as a fiscal watchdog, I'm doing my best to try and get them to slow down. And, you know, just like families can't spend more than what they bring in, our state should be doing the same thing, and we don't.
Yeah, I know, and the trickle-down effect is very real. For instance, Allegheny County, Sarah Inamorata, freezing spending because, you know, they're waiting on the state to get their budget, and other organizations are in the same boat. So hopefully they can get something done. Meanwhile, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you.
You got it. Stacy Garrity, Pennsylvania's treasurer. We need a budget, Aaron. You have a budget at home?
You know I have a budget at home, unfortunately.
Well, you're pretty organized.
Well, Vinny's actually the one who carries that mantle, believe it or not.
Well, usually one of the two in a new marriage. How long have you been married now?
Almost 4 years. And you're right, but I think being married to him, he's more type A, has helped me kind of get my thoughts organized quicker. I'm organized in a different way than he is.
All right. Coming up, Mayor Walker just texted me. He's with the chief getting a debrief in Aliquippa about this story. You'll hear more about it in just a few minutes with Paul Rasmussen, but we will end up having a conversation with Aliquippa Mayor Dwan Walker. Big K Morning Show, and welcome to the weekend. Kind of a quiet weekend for some sports fans. You've got some of the teams, including University of Pittsburgh, that are on an off week. We got the Steelers on the road on Sunday in New England. And yesterday, Penn started training camp. We'll get more on that coming up in this half hour. And for moms and dads, a lot of confusion about vaccines. For the latest, CBS's Mark Straussman.
We strongly support the use of vaccines.
With skepticism high and their credibility on the line, many members of the CDC's advisory committee said they were not against vaccines. But Chairman Martin Kulldorff quickly pivoted to the public health controversy, whether to recommend altering the childhood vaccination schedule.
Removing unnecessary risk and harms whenever possible.
Specific the shots for MMRV, now widely given to infants. All 12 committee members were appointed by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy, a longtime critic of vaccines. Many of the new members have expressed doubts about the safety of vaccines. Jason Goldman, president of the American College of Physicians, pushed back.
You're looking at very small data points and misrepresenting how it works in the real world and how we take care of our patients.
Vaccine supporters point to examples like the measles shot. After it was introduced in 1963, cases plummeted 97%. Those supporters are worried the committee's recommendations will increase vaccine hesitancy, and insurance providers may no longer cover the charge. Jody Guest is an epidemiologist with Emory University.
Anytime we make it harder, we will see large numbers of people then not get that vaccine.
In effect, closing the door for a number of people.
Yes.
The committee voted to take away the option to give the combined MMRV dose to children under age 4. And they're recommending that MMR and varicella vaccines be given separately for children under age 4. Mark Straussman, CBS News, Atlanta.
As you can see, there's a lot of confusion. So it was mentioned yesterday, talk to your physician. Talk to the most trusted medical expert that you know and ask them their opinion. Aaron, what else do you do if you're a parent? Now, if you're a young parent, first child, you're like, okay, maybe it's you're on the bubble of what to do.
Yeah, I'm a strong believer in each parent. It's just whatever you two agree on, that's what's happening. So when I forget what expert, maybe it was Dr. Gentile, who was saying she has conversations with families that have different opinions, and it's nerve-wracking because I think we're living in a time where there's a bunch of different options and it freaks people out, you know? So I think it's just when you know what you stand on, sticking to that, because there's a lot of information on both sides.
Absolutely. So today, the big international story is going to be President Trump talking to President Jing of China after his trip to the UK. So what happened? What's the takeaway from this is a second state visit that the president has made to England? CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
After watching the Red Devils of the British Army parachute onto Chequers, the Prime Minister's country estate, President Trump and Keir Starmer agreed. They got what they wanted from each other in terms of money. Nearly $350 billion in pledged cross-border investments.
He's a tough negotiator. I think it was a better deal for you than us, but these are minor details.
But they're still far apart on how to end the wars in Ukraine and the Middle East. Starmer and other world leaders are preparing to recognize Palestine as an independent state, but not Trump.
So I have a disagreement with the Prime Minister on that score.
But there's also differences on Ukraine. President Volodymyr Zelensky is launching a new counteroffensive, hoping to push back Russians on the war's eastern front. Russian President Vladimir Putin said today he now has more than 700,000 troops on the front lines. Trump has struggled to convince Putin to stop the war and today appeared to downplay it.
It doesn't affect the United States. And it doesn't so much affect you.
But Starmer, who co-chairs a coalition backing Ukraine, pushed Trump to do more.
We have to put extra pressure on Putin. And it's only when the president has put pressure on Putin that he's actually shown any inclination to move.
Ed O'Keefe, CBS News, Windsor, England.
So what's on the agenda for the conversation between President Trump and China's President Jing? Tariffs, of course, trade, and TikTok, among others. So we'll see if that bears any fruit, and that is supposed to happen at some point.
Last night in Aliquippa.
I don't want to tell the police how to do their job, but please don't come to Lemoore and start killing our children.
Yeah, that woman reacting in the moments after an 18-year-old Aliquippa High School student was shot by an ATF agent during a joint operation with the FBI. And now we've learned Kendrick Curtis died early this morning at AGH.
And I've been communicating with Aliquippa Mayor Dwan Walker. He's asking for calm. He's actually in a briefing and is unable to speak with us live at this time, but he's getting the details from the chief.
Hopefully we'll hear from him soon, Larry. Jimmy Kimmel's absence on ABC was fodder last night on CBS's The Late Show. Stephen Colbert was jokingly upset he didn't have more time to celebrate his Emmy win.
To Jimmy, just let me say, I stand with you and your staff 100%. And also, you couldn't let me enjoy this for like 1 week. Just come on.
There'll be a lot more fallout. So the conversation continues, and including people canceling their subscriptions to Disney that owns ABC, ESPN, Hulu. So they said, you cancel Jimmy, we're canceling you. And we'll see what happens.
Of course,
now
he's being preempted right now, right? He hasn't been officially terminated, has he?
No, he's on undetermined suspension in terms of time. If it's permanent, it sounds like it might be.
Yeah. Hey, how are the Steelers handling the Week 2 loss to Seattle? Well, Aaron Rodgers told reporters they're looking ahead to Sunday's game with the Patriots at Foxborough.
I haven't seen anybody hanging their heads. The most important thing, like I said after the game, is it's a marathon, not a sprint. You can't ride the ups and downs. You have to embrace the results that happen and take a look at your process every single week, whether it's a win on the scoreboard or a loss.
Spoken like someone who spent two decades plus in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers. Here's what Cam Hayward said about playing in New England, because you know they've had issues over the years, Spygate and all that stuff, but it's a whole new staff.
It's weird. We've had openers there, we've had AFC championships there. It's a crazy place to be. I'm just praying that we don't have a fire alarm go off, but that was years ago, but always good to see Braves.
Cam Hayward.
You know, they're a 1.5-point favorite on Sunday. The Steelers are on the road against the Patriots. Normally, you would get 3 points for being a home favorite, right?
Yeah, interesting.
So this is a 4.5-point swing in favor of Pittsburgh. And I would also say that the Steelers are 1-5 under Mike Tomlin at Foxborough.
And they're hoping to get a win and then kind of get on a roll, because they got to travel across the pond and play next Sunday in Dublin against the Vikings.
At least you get one weekend that's relatively quiet before you got to go on this massive tour, Larry, right?
Well played, yes, because Pitt's off. They have two bye weeks in this season, Pitt. And then, of course, the Steelers will have theirs after the game in Dublin. Oh, we got to mention training. What do we call it? Summer training?
I don't know. It's a Penn's training camp opened yesterday at the Lemieux Center up in Cranberry, and the team got their look at the first look at the new head coach.
Yeah, he's who knows what's going to happen with the Penguins, but we do know, we did find out this week that Sidney Crosby, after rumors that he might be seeking another place to go, loves it here, is going to stay here. At least that's what he said this week. Yeah, up at the UPMC Lemieux Center complex, which draws, by the way, they have this huge hockey tournament this weekend, too, up there. And we have regular visitors from around the country. And one of the great notes is, hey, guess what? They play a preseason game Monday.
I know. Jeez. And by the way, have you heard what the tickets are going for now?
For Marc-Andre Fleury's game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the 27th.
So it's amazing.
Former Penguin, you know, Stanley Cup champion Marc-Andre Fleury is going to play that game, or at least one period. One period.
I don't know how they can't have him play the whole thing with the interest people have now. Right, Larry?
Yeah, the tickets for a preseason game, insane. For people that want to, you know, cheer him on because he has decided to retire as a Penguin.
Oh, that's great. And by the way, going back to what Sid said, when's the last time in the last 20 years that we ever had a situation where Sidney Crosby had to walk back something he said? Never. No. I can't remember any in the entire time he's been here.
Yeah, and his agent was floating some stuff too, and then they took off on it. And you know, Montreal, where they are crazed about hockey, and so they're almost as nuts as we are about Steelers football here. Welcome to the weekend, Larry Richard, with anchorman Paul Rasmus, and still awaiting word from Aliquippa's Mayor Dwan Walker. The incident that you detailed in the newscast, Paul, so we are hoping to hear from him this hour, asking for calm in his city after this incident where an 18-year-old was shot by law enforcement officials. Not many details at this point, right, Paul?
Very few details were released by state police when they confirmed the shooting took place last night, and what we do know is that it was a joint ATF and FBI operation, and apparently reports indicating that the shooting involved a number of shots. The ATF agent that was involved was the person credited with the fatal gunfire.
All right, we'll keep you posted on that as it develops here on KDK. The other story a lot of people are talking about, this Jimmy Kimmel indefinite suspension story. And joining us is the co-founder and media relations specialist at the Goldman McCormick. His name is Ryan McCormick. Ryan, good morning out of New York.
Good morning. It's an honor to be with you and your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Here's the 13 seconds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That started it all Monday night.
He hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
And it took a day of conversation. And Paul, will you add what that conversation that you heard was with Jimmy Kimmel about how to handle the pushback that he got initially?
The report that I read in the overnight hours was that the head of ABC had a sit-down, a conversation with Jimmy Kimmel about what he was going to say next. And based on that conversation, then the head of ABC contacted the CEO of Disney, that's I think Bob Iger, and the decision was made after that discussion to suspend indefinitely the program, based on what Jimmy was going to say. The report indicated that Jimmy was going to, in so many words, double down on his position.
So that's where we are, Ryan. Now you have to fix it as a media relations guy. there are so many tentacles to this story, and many saying, well, it's not really about free speech. It's about making sure your boss still makes money.
There are a number of different elements about this. Fundamentally speaking, the First Amendment, if we're looking at that, it's a battle. And that's where you really see the battle for principle, whether or not people are really standing with true free speech, because sometimes you hear things that are not pleasant, and that's when you really have to stand tall. But as far as this goes, working with a number of different attorneys, the First Amendment does not apply at the workplace, because apparently you're obligated to do a certain thing, and you have to be very limited to what you do. So as far as Jimmy Kimmel goes, looking at late night TV, it seems to be on the decline as it is. And when Jimmy Kimmel and others go super political, they alienate and narrow their audience. Once upon a time, I used to work for Howard Stern, and he had
that must have been fun.
It was interesting. It was definitely interesting. That's when he had 12 million listeners a week, and then he went down to 120,000 or something. And he said that I don't want people who have a certain political affiliation to listen to my show. And when you do that, you minimize the amount of you never reach your full potential as far as audience goes. So as far as Jimmy Kimmel goes, I think this is a combination of a number of different things. Apparently, there's a big merger that's happening. This thing with Charlie Kirk. I don't necessarily know if this could have been the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, because he has attacked Trump and he has been political throughout the years. So I feel like this was just the excuse or the cover that ABC finally needed. And maybe because the FCC reacted so harshly to this, and meanwhile ABC is in the middle of trying to do a merger, that has something to do with it as well. But overall, this show seemed like this was going to be inevitable. A lot of late night shows just seem like to be thrown the way out. They don't have the prestige that they once did. They don't have the audience or the pull that they once did.
Ryan, if you were in the position of advising right now, Jimmy Kimmel and his team, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them at this point, be quiet, see how things go, and just know that you've built up a very true core audience. And if things don't work out at ABC, you can start your own platform. It's incredible that people that have started podcasts or started their own streaming services have been very successful. So I think Jimmy Kimmel will be successful no matter where he goes. Not having the prestigiousness of ABC will definitely be a setback, but I think that he'll be successful no matter what he does. The same thing with Howard Stern, and same thing with some of these other larger-than-life personalities who've built a big audience over the years. If things don't work out with their employer, they can start their own thing. They're not going to have, again, the prestigiousness or some of the audience that they once did, but they'll still be successful.
By the way, Ryan, Howard's wife's from Pittsburgh here in Fox Chapel, just as a side note. There's always a Pittsburgh connection. Well, I imagine you had your hands full in because Howard's so controversial. In fact, he went political, and that, put him at odds with Donald Trump, because Trump used to be a regular guest and feature. But if you look back, Bill O'Reilly had to leave. He was caught in the Me Too thing. But he's created a subscription online. I don't know how successful it is. He claims it's very successful, but they're not regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. So it's a different conversation, is it not?
Yeah, it seems to be very different. They have a lot more freedom to do whatever they want. And this is where a lot of things are going, because people have a lot more choices than they once did 10 or even 20 years ago. You'd have to watch a TV show at a certain time. Now you can stream it, and a lot of people get their information from their phone. One thing I don't see ever going away is radio, because I think radio is very intimate and people can listen to it all different ways. So TV, I am concerned about, but radio I think is going to be here for a long, long time. So, but it really also too comes down to how you treat your audience. And Howard and Jimmy Kimmel, I think, mainly Howard, the way he related to his audience changed so dramatically. When I was with him, he had a massive, massive appeal. He was doing certain things. He was more the everyday person. And then he just changed, and he basically wanted to appeal to a certain type of audience, very limited audience. And that's a direct reflection of the ratings. As far as Jimmy Kimmel goes and some of these other people go, they're catering their shows to a certain audience, and if they're not reaching their full potential, they're never going to reach their full potential in advertising revenue. But one thing I wanted to also mention is that Jimmy Kimmel's show is actually bringing a sizable quantity of advertising revenue to ABC. So I find it perplexing that they would be so quick to get rid of that particular show, especially when in the past year, apparently their ads brought in $11.2 billion in advertising impression. So that the show wasn't like substantial, but it wasn't piecemeal either as far as the advertising revenue was bringing in.
Going back to what you said about the future for Jimmy Kimmel, if his future with ABC is, if there isn't one, I was thinking about Conan O'Brien's successful transition to another network. And then I thought, well, you look at the YouTube channels that have been established by the former Fox personalities. We have Megan, and then we have Tucker Carlson, Megyn Kelly, and they have bigger audiences now than they had on Fox.
Yes, as do Clayton Morris, as do George Napolitano. So, if you are talented and you find your own niche, you could do that. And it's incredible how the media landscape is so rapidly changing. So while this is a shift away from late night TV, I think that larger-than-life personalities or people have the capability of connecting, they're always going to find their audience. And in some way, shape, or form, this might be even better for Jimmy Kimmel, because if he left ABC, he doesn't have to worry about getting regulated at all in any capacity. He can just be his true self. At the same time, I love Jay Leno, and I had the pleasure of knowing Dave Berg, who was the executive producer, former executive producer of the Jay Leno Show. And he would always say that, you know, Jay Leno and Johnny Carson, they were all about making an entertaining show. You know, people at the end of the day want to laugh before they go to bed. And now it just seems like the landscape has changed, where a lot of these hosts, they're preaching their political values. And some people don't want to hear that. They want to laugh to go to bed.
So, yeah, and there's always the option, Ryan, don't watch. If you don't like what you're seeing, turn it off.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. We'll talk again. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Great honor to be with you.
Ryan McCormick from New York, co-founder and media relations specialist, as you heard, working with Howard Stern and other big shows, too. So he's
got a big picture view people needed to hear. I'm glad he was with us this morning.
Yeah, it was really eye-opening for many people. Well, when I used to do the weather on television, Paul, I used to wonder, what's it like to be in Los Angeles or Phoenix and do the weather, where every day it's basically the same.
Right. Yeah. High temperatures in the, you know, 80s and 90s and lows in the 50s and 60s, right?
I saw meteorologist Ron Smiley on KDK TV this morning, just same thing over and over. It's like being the old member Maytag repairman.
Right.
You just kind of sit there, yeah.
Yeah, waiting for the phone to ring.
85 sunny, and then yuck it up. 58 right now. News desk. Here's a look ahead at our 8:30 report with Paul Rasmussen.
In Aliquippa, the mayor is calling for calm the morning after the fatal shooting of a Aliquippa high school student in a federal drug, apparently a federal drug operation of some kind, perhaps. Drugs or guns, ATF and FBI were involved. We'll have more on this story in 11 minutes on The Voice of Pittsburgh. News Radio, KDKA.
Thanks, Paul. A lot of people looking for something to do this weekend. Next hour, we'll go through a list. But just to give you the shorthand, there is a international jazz festival, Liberty Avenue, this weekend, and a sold-out show tonight. Brandon Marsalis, right? One of the most famous jazz musicians, maybe one of the most recognizable among many others, will be in Pittsburgh. You also have the Three Stooges Film Festival. I know. I look at Erin. She's like, really, Larry? That's it. The Harris Theater, by the way. In case you and Vinny are looking for something to do.
Oh, I will absolutely keep that in mind.
There's a bunch of, we'll talk to our news editor next hour. He's participating in a series of Oktoberfests.
You know, by the way, Larry, Pat Septak, accordionaire extravaganza, I guess. Par excellence.
I like extravaganza, but go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, he was playing at a restaurant last night where they had his name on the marquee in the parking lot.
I saw that. That was a moment in this brand new Lederhosen. So I wanted to know why Oktoberfest happens in September.
And?
I asked, what's her name? Siri.
I'm thinking, what's he about to say here?
You know, I mean, well, the problem is that Siri never answers. That's the problem.
No, she's...
ask these questions, and then we don't hear her speaking.
She doesn't talk back.
She's become annoying. The first Oktoberfest in 1810 was the wedding of a Bavarian crown prince, Ludwig, to Princess Therese of Sachsen-Hildegard.
Oh boy.
Do you want me to try? Let's try this. Just, we need a lighter moment right now.
No kidding.
All right. So let me see. I'm going to ask. This is Gemini, which is Google's artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Why is Oktoberfest celebrated in September? Let's see what happens here. It takes seconds.
Oktoberfest is a festival that celebrates Bavarian culture, with the world's largest event held annually in Munich, Germany. Despite its name, the festival takes place mostly in September and concludes in early October. Why is Oktoberfest celebrated in September? The reason for the September start date is primarily due to better weather conditions in Munich. The festival was originally held in October to celebrate the 1810 wedding of Crown Prince Ludwig and Princess Therese of Saxony-Hildburghausen.
Saxony-Hildburghausen.
Now we know what close to saying that, right?
Yeah, right. Now we have the English translation of Larry's earlier utterances. Yeah.
And you thought I was just making it up.
But the weather makes sense. Like, of course, that's why.
Yeah. So I've always wondered that, and I never asked.
Yeah.
Because people would say, I've actually known people that have gone to Munich and they go, I'm going to Oktoberfest. Oh, and I'm thinking they're going in October. It's September.
Well, you know, I was at the Hofbräuhaus in Munich in the summer months, and it was packed, and it seemed like the Oktoberfest atmosphere to me. I mean, it was great fun.
Oktoberfest is every weekend at that Hofbräuhaus.
Yeah, you got that right.
That's down on the Saas side.
That is a fun place to go.
Oh, I imagine they're pumping right now.
I remember Dad's first visit to Pittsburgh. They had just opened the Hofbräuhaus, and I took him over there on a Saturday afternoon. The joint was packed.
I don't know. What are those outfits the women wear? They're like with ruffles and...
Yeah.
I'm not talking
like
about...
Like the St. Pauli girl logo.
Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have these...
I don't know what they're called.
Have you ever been there, Aaron?
No.
This is right behind the Cheesecake Factory on the south side.
Oh, you know, wait. Yes, I have been there one time.
If you happen to see a very attractive young woman in one of those outfits, you go, my, what an attractive Frau.
Frau Brunner.
She's a fetching Frau.
That's from Explain. Try to explain to Aaron what Frau Brunner.
Oh, Frau Blücher.
Blücher.
Yes, played by Cloris Leachman in the wonderful comedy hit by Mel Brooks called Young Frankenstein. And every time that they said her name, Frau Blücher, horses would whinny in the background.
Huh.
And we're still trying to figure out why.
I think they just did that for that reason.
There's another movie you should add to the list of stuff you should watch. Gene Wilder and Terry Garr are the leads. Cloris Leachman has a wonderful role along with Marty Feldman. And Mel Brooks is a genius when it comes to comedy.
What did I have that somewhere? I got to find that.
Frau Blücher.
And every time they said it. I got it. Don't go away. This is well worth it. This is worth the wait, Aaron. All right, Paul, you set it up. You say it.
Frau Blücher.
Oh, man, you should see the movie. Aaron, it's a gas.
All right.
Another one.
Oktoberfest. There's a big pumpkin festival in Evan City. There's a lot going on this weekend, so we'll give you the details, and then we'll tell you where our own Lederhosen leader is going to be. From the PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis. I'm in Monroeville. I'm guessing, Heather, you didn't know why Oktoberfest was celebrated in September.
I didn't.
And didn't care. Less.
No, I love learning new things. I also haven't seen Young Frankenstein, so this is an interesting morning.
You will get a kick. I promise you, if you watch it, you'll get a kick. It's a comedy. It's not a horror film.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome, and I have a son who's a cinephile, so we'll watch it. That'll be a good time. Well, traffic is pretty backed up on most of the major roadways right now. Let's start with the Parkway East, where traffic is actually building. Right now, it's stretching back to Wilkinsburg as you head into the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. Similar story on the Parkway West inbound. You're lining up at the top of Green Tree Hill, staying in that traffic as you head down into the Fort Pitt Tunnel. 28 inbound, mostly back up to speed, but you are hitting a slowdown around the 40th Street Bridge as you approach the north side. No issues right now on the Parkway North and 51. Stop and go from around Midwood Avenue to the Liberty Tubes. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 8:35. I'm Heather Zambito on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And we're looking at sunshine again. 13 straight days. 85 will be our high. Still approaching 60 right now. And we've got Dan Forestberg. Dan, you're checking
in. Hi, Larry.
You know about Oktoberfest?
Oh, do I ever? I direct the Eintracht Männer Corps up here in Newcastle, the Kinder Corps. And those outfits the ladies wear are called dirndls. And they're primarily Bavarian. And the men wear lederhosen, the shorts made out of goat leather. And those are the two traditional costumes worn for Oktoberfest.
I did not know that. Did you also direct a movie?
Pardon?
Did you direct a movie, too?
No. I direct the Eintracht Männerchor, men's choir up here in Newcastle, and we're affiliated with the Teutonia Männerchor down there in Pittsburgh in Germantown, North Side.
Yeah, so, I've seen that. I've never been in it. I can't believe it. The one in the North Side.
Oh, here. You got to go.
All right.
It's a great part of Pittsburgh's history.
Proust.
Prost. Ein Prosit. Yeah.
Prost. Okay. I was close. Thank you, Dan.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day.
Monday, we announced the Hometown Heroes for this year. That's Wednesday, October 15th. By the way, we've had tremendous response, and we're going to be also recognizing Lifetime Achievement awardees. Jerome Bettis, who everybody in this town knows, and Lucas Pyatt, a great visionary. And one of our Hometown Heroes of the Past, Ron Shaw's with us. This is a big weekend, and he's here to share why. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Glad to be with you.
First and foremost, we thank you for your service, in your case, the United States Navy, correct?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And the last time you did this special thing that you've been a part of, how long now?
Oh, I've been part of it here in Pittsburgh for 7 years now.
And the last time you did it, I came with a whole bunch of other people to greet our veterans who you took to Washington, D.C. So share the game plan for this weekend.
Okay, yeah. We take veterans who served during World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, and we take them back to Washington, D.C. for the day to see the memorials that were built in honor of their service. We leave at 5 a.m. on this Saturday morning. We'll get back about 10:30 that night. The whole day is meant to be an honor to say thank you for your service and let you know that we are truly a grateful nation for what you've done.
It's so powerful, and to be there when they arrive back, so they don't know there's going to be basically a receiving line, do they?
That's correct. And I think, they've been there since 4 in the morning. The buses leave at 5. They just want to come back and get in the car and go home. But we have a special way of saying thank you to them from their families and friends and the community and the police and fire. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a very, as you said, a very emotional and exciting time.
And you do this, what, typically twice a year?
Right now we're doing it, yes, sir. We're doing it twice a year. We'd like to do more, but we'd need more funds and more people to do that. And so for right now we're looking at May for the next one of next year. So,
yeah, Honor Flight Pittsburgh Mission 16. That said, how many veterans will be on this mission tomorrow?
We'll have a total of 100 people in the two buses. There are actually 60 veterans that are being honored. Then we'll have others that are there to help, guardians and nurses and trip leaders to help them. But there's actually 60 honored veterans on this one. We have World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, all three on this trip. And we have a very special person on this trip. We have a World War II veteran that is 105 years old, and he is so excited about this trip tomorrow.
105. That's amazing.
Yes, sir.
And excited about going to the memorials in Washington. I can't imagine what their reaction is when they get there for the first time in front of those great tributes.
The ones that are there for the first time, it is amazing. Because they flash back to when they were there and the stories, and a lot of them share with us. It's a very, it's an amazing time and reflective time. I'm just so proud to be able to be part of this.
Yeah, even after all these years have passed since they served, it all kind of comes back to them when they get, in the case of the Vietnam vets, maybe the reception they never received when they came home in the first place.
That is true. And it is hard for some of the Vietnam vets, but the country has done such a great job of saying, you know what, that was what we did back there 50 years ago was wrong, and And they're very respectful of the Vietnam vets, and especially because of the Iraq and Afghanistan vets. They came back and said, look, you need to do a better job here. And we're very grateful for that.
Well, we appreciate the work you do. Safe travels, and let people know how can they help you in the future.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, our best place to go is our website, honorflightpittsburgh.org. You can sign up to be a veteran or a guardian or donate there. We always appreciate that. If you're on Facebook, we do have a Honor Flight Pittsburgh Facebook group page. If you join that tomorrow, they'll be posting pictures all day long about the different types of the trip. So love to have you.
All right. Thank you, hometown hero. Be safe.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your support, sir.
You got it. Ron Chaul, one of our hometown heroes on the Big K Morning Show. Looking forward to our event, and you can be a part of it. Aaron, you attended last year, very uplifting, and this promises to be really exciting this year, too.
Yeah, I'm excited for a bigger venue to see the smiles on people's faces, sometimes happy tears. It's going to be a great, great night.
And this is at the Rivers Casinos Event Center on the second floor on Wednesday, October 15th. Go to kdkradio.com. Would love to see you there. Frank, baby. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with my in-studio guest, Lance Joan, who I've known for many moons.
Thank you for inviting me in.
Dating back to your Star Lake days, where yes. You were part of bringing the greatest acts ever to our hometown.
Yeah, the facility opened in 1990, and I was not there the first year. I was still at the Civic Arena at that point.
Right.
And booking shows there. Someone you know, Tom Rooney, was the executive director of Star Lake when it opened in 1990. He poached me from the arena the second year. So I was there from 1991 through 2007. So a long stretch.
That's a long time in the music business, especially.
Things changed appreciably in that, decade and a half that I was there. I mean, new trends, country changed and became immensely popular.
I mean, they're packing arenas now with country music.
Absolutely right, yes.
And Star Lake's still doing well.
Yeah, it's still doing well. And, it's funny, Larry, you would like this, but in 1994, the band Traffic with Steve Winwood reformed after many, many years. And so our advertising was Traffic at Star Lake, and people were going, oh, really?
Because that's right. Well, that's what people, yeah. Because of the construction for Eon's 2230, yeah. It just seemed like it was hard to get there and then hard to get out of yes. the parking lot after. Yes. They still have those challenges. But
you're right.
Here for something completely
yes.
different.
Yes.
We support here at Odyssey Pittsburgh, KDK, Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. So tell us about Tunes for Tables.
Yeah, so that's a campaign I came up with 6 years ago, and it's basically really online, so easy to access, easy to donate. So Lisa Scales, who's the president and CEO, has done a video. I think I posted it the other day on Facebook on my page. And, great organization top to bottom there, do immensely great work for the community. And they're in a situation now. In July, they got cut with expected revenue from Department of Agriculture. There's been some cuts to a lot of nonprofits, et cetera, but they lost over $1.5 million. They're trying to claw back, of course. So, it's critical right now that everybody reach out and support them. They cover 11 counties. There's probably 300,000.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
People out there in their service area that are experiencing food insecurity. So I started this Tunes for Tables, like I said, 6 years ago, and it's online. It lasts 1 week, and we're on day 5 of 7. So actually, the Tunes for Tables campaign runs through this Sunday evening. And the address is pittsburghfoodbank.org/tunes. And the information is there. The place to donate is there. That's on the website of the food bank. And as we've discussed, I've had music sort of coursing through my blood from an early age. And,
yeah, you were like a little kid doing Elvis stuff.
I had my parents bought me a cheap plastic guitar with a couple strings on it, and I performed in front of their friends, which I'm sure they enjoyed immensely, or pretended that they did. So
we used to watch the Monkees on TV, and we thought, well, we could be a fake band too.
Yes, exactly right.
Without any talent, but those guys ended up being pretty talented. All right, that said,
they did
tell us this premium you are offering.
Yeah,
for just $25, because I think it's really unique.
So yeah, 25 or more of a donation will get you instantly a return letter from the food bank, you know, thanking you for your donation, but also giving you a link to go and download a complete set. It's about an hour and 40 minutes long. It consists of 18 different in-concert performances. You were playing Frank there, so the chairman of the board, and a song from him is on that. So it's basically a curated jukebox, video jukebox, and it's all yours. You download it, you have it forever, and it's 18 different artists, and not just the chairman of the board, but we've got Sting on there.
Oh, Sting. I love Sting.
Yes. And so, you know, it's a wide array of people. There's John Prine, who's a famous folk artist. There's Sting with Rufus Wainwright singing. So I did a number of collaborations when I included
these.
Where'd
you get these videos?
Just from YouTube. I mean, they're accessible to the public, of course, but not in a curated sense of this, that you get 18 of different things, and it kind of flows very nicely the way that we did. I used my old DJ skills from college. I don't know. It's
you went to Penn State.
I did go to Penn State. Yes, you're right. I did. I was on the radio station up there, and you know, famous because it had a 9-mile radius or something
Are
like that.
Are you going to your class reunion?
You know, I don't. I haven't been up to Happy Valley for a number of years, so I really should go back there. It's been a while.
I had a brother that went to Penn State. I had a brother that went to Pitt. And they go, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Ivy League. They said, Clarion is not Ivy League. I said, there's Ivy all over the Student Union building. He said, that doesn't count.
Oh, that's not the ivory tower they were talking about.
No, it wasn't. So how did you get into doing this in the first place?
You know, it's funny. My late wife, Margo, and I, the early 2000s.
She was a superstar.
Thank you. Yeah. I think the short story is that Margo and I were into music very much. Early 2000s, Martin Scorsese's film The Last Waltz came out on DVD for the first time. I was excited as hell, and I ran to the record store and purchased it. And we invited some couples over to watch it. So we crammed the chairs in the living room, six other couples and us. And we sat there and noticed that after songs were over watching The Last Waltz, people were clapping, almost like they forgot they were in a living room watching a TV. And they thought they were out at a show. Something clicked in our minds, and we said, you know, I've collected and was collecting a number of concert videos because they were just abundant back then. Everything was being released, from U2 to Frank Sinatra to everything. So anyway, I started collecting those. So we came up with the idea of renting a hall, me doing a curated set of videos that we would download. And so we did three sets of videos, time in between for silent auction purchases. Basically, we ran an event for 14 years, from 2006 through 2019. and raised, I think the total was over $170,000 for this little, we called it the little private party that it could, because it just, it was a bunch of friends, like-minded souls, very generous, probably 100, 110 people coming to this one event every November through that time frame, and we raised a lot of money for the food bank. Got to know also Joyce Rothermill, who was one of the co-founders
sure.
of the food
I remember
bank.
Joyce.
Yes, yes. Incredibly inspiring person. And so that friendship also with this idea that came out of kind of nowhere, you know, we were successful. And then COVID came. But ironically, we had stopped the live event that we had been doing from 2006 through 2019. We stopped it after November 2019, not knowing that in March 2020, yeah. everybody in the world was sent home. And so so the next year, 2020, which is why I developed Tunes for Tables. Strictly online, easy to get to, easy to get the thank you gift, and great support from the food bank this week as well, with all the efforts that I'm doing myself, visiting folks like you and posting on Facebook. And
this is great. PittsburghFoodBank.org/tunes for tables gets you there.
Yes.
And you're helping the greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and all of our neighbors around the region.
Yeah.
Lance Jones, thank you. Good okay. to see you. It's Larry. Better to be in Pittsburgh and really all around the world in Munich, Germany. And we got a lot going on this weekend. Joining us, Pat Septak, who is our really Oktoberfest expert. Last year, prior to, he purchased a expensive pair of lederhosen.
Yes.
For those that don't know, what is a lederhosen?
I don't even know how to describe it. although you have had... You have a description that you use quite often. What do you call it? Chaps? Something?
Assless chaps, yes.
yeah, it's got straps and it's got the suspenders and most people know what leaders are.
All right, before we get to the Oktoberfest, because you're a busy man, this is your busiest time of the year. It's kind of like the Super Bowl for a man that plays the accordion. there's the jazz festival in town this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot going on at the August Wilson Center downtown at Liberty Avenue. Saturday, all day, basically Saturday and Sunday, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, I mentioned this, Adam Sandler's at PPG Paints tomorrow night, 7:30. Then you've got the Three Stooges Festival at the Harris Theater downtown.
Yes. And so much going on.
There is a lot going on. And then share with Aaron what Oktoberfest means to you, the places you've been here, and this weekend. He's in big demand, Aaron.
I asked him. He said he is in the thick of it.
Yes, to say the least.
Last year, he posted a viral video that smoked around the world.
That's what you do, Pat.
Yes, it did go viral. But yeah, it started last weekend for me, and I'm just on a roll. It's like every weekend, just something going on. Tomorrow, I'll be playing at Shoebrew in Zelenople, where I live.
Oh, yeah, and Evan City's not far. They get their big pumpkin festival tomorrow on Sunday, too.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
No Horse matter- trading days are over, though, in Zilly, aren't they? That was earlier.
I think so. Yeah. But yeah, at Shoebrew, I'll be playing on the rooftop.
Like the Beatles.
Like the Beatles.
Thank goodness there's no chance for rain.
Yeah, that's true.
How
yeah.
often do we go into a weekend in this town knowing for sure it's not going to rain? I watch it rain.
not very
Never.
Long. I mean, it's amazing. This two-week span.
Oh, my gosh.
No rain. Not just no rain, but sunshine. We have plenty of sunshine.
Crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's going to be fun between 1 and 6 tomorrow. So if you're driving by, beep your horn or look up. I'll be on the rooftop there. Yes, like the Abbey Road concert that the Beatles did in the late 60s.
Yeah, when they were breaking up the Beatles, they did a performance on the top, the rooftop of Apple Records.
Yeah. And the authorities had to come up and shut it down. He said, "You can't do this."
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and then what?
Breaking news, Larry. I just found out I just got booked for the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival.
Wow.
Yes.
What took them so long?
I know, right? So I asked him, I says, "There's just one problem." I says, "I don't have any Renaissance costume." And they said, do you have any lederhosen? I said, boy, do I. They said, just wear that. So,
otherwise, what would you have done?
I don't know. I don't
kind of in a Conan the Barbarian thong.
Right. So, yeah. But that'll be next weekend. Next Sunday, I'll be at the Pittsburgh Renaissance.
Where did I see you on the marquee?
Oh, that was last night. That was at Riardo's Bar and Grill in Newcastle. That was not an Oktoberfest. That was Italian night.
Oh, he gets these calls all the time.
I mean, hearing you play Italian music, it was amazing.
And guess what?
Thank you.
There's two songs I can tell you right now that are the number one demands. If he goes to Italian Fest, tell me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
Right?
Yes. I played that last night.
I told you.
Some guy gave me a big tip just for playing that song.
I want to thank you, Patrick, for doing this for me.
Legendary.
And then you get the Steeler fight song request. The Jimmy Pohl version,
oh, yes.
Right?
Yes. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
I think I have it.
That's it.
Do you sing, too?
I do not sing.
Oh. No. All right, Patrick. But, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
This is like hanging out with Elvis. He's storming the countryside. One location, a bar at a time.
I feel like I'm on tour, you know.
All right, man. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you, Larry. You too.
And coming up, Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty in the next few minutes. And every Friday, we're running out of Fridays with Pirates broadcaster Joe Block. Joe, good morning.
I'm glad you put that caveat on there. You started to worry me for a moment there. Running out of Fridays.
Just,
oh, no.
In baseball terms with you, yeah. I mean, we'll talk again next Friday for the final time. And then what do you do in the off season?
I'm a dad and a husband, you know, so I mean, that's it. I just try to make up time with my kids. They're ages 4 through 9. My wife deserves some dates and some time with her or some time off. Really go bike riding before it gets too cold, stuff like that. So just try to have a little time with them.
Yeah, understood. That's a great plan. For those that don't understand, what you do in season is very demanding on your personal time. So we got this big weekend at PNC. Here's what's kind of cool going into the weekend. We know it's going to be nice for baseball. Weather-wise.
It got me choked up too, Larry.
You know, sorry.
I think, how good the Larry.
Full disclosure, I just wolfed down a Oakmont Bakery pastry. I'm sorry, Joe.
Oh, I would prioritize that over toxic as well. That's really good. Oh, no, I mean, it's you think about it, it got cold a few weeks ago, and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, what's going to be like when it comes to fall rolling around? This is the last weekend of summer, so it's still going to feel like summer, and it's going to be really nice out at the ballpark, too. And a lot of fun stuff going on. Fan Appreciation Weekend really is year-round, but especially just making sure that, especially in a tough year like this year, letting folks know that they are appreciated, because everybody that's come at the ballpark this year deserves that.
Yeah, this is, for those that don't know, this is it. The last weekend at PNC Park, and then two series on the road, Cincinnati and then Atlanta. And after that, end of the season, there'll be some takeaways we can talk about next week. But overall, just some impressions of what Pirate fans might expect in the off season that'll make a difference for next season.
Well, it's a cliffhanger. is how I would probably characterize the offseason. I really don't have any idea what will take place. What we can take from this season, clearly anyone that's followed along, this starting pitching and really some bullpen arms too, is lights out phenomenal. If you match this with even just an average offense, this is a playoff team or at least darn close to it. So, and then if teams that have this kind of pitching, which there are a few of them throughout baseball, these are the teams that no one wants to face in the postseason. So, but they've got a long way to go offensively to be an average offense. So that's to me what I'm going to look for over the winter is how do they systematically get better offensively and then personnel wise too. I think it's got to be both. They've got to figure out how to train the hitters better. From the minor leagues on up, and there's a couple guys that are really exciting that come out, kind of chief among them, of course, top prospect of baseball, but also bringing in some really bona fide major league hitters to complement the guys that they have now. And I think then maybe we go into next season feeling a lot more excited.
Did you have a highlight, personal highlight, something you witnessed this year?
Well, I think anytime you watch Paul Skenes, it's really, you know, one of a kind what we're seeing from him. So we've got to see 31 times him just continue to do what we think. Okay, well, even the pessimist. This is the time where it all, you know, the bubble pops. No, I mean he's for real. It's the summer of Andrew McCutchen in a Pirates uniform. Those aren't, you know, a given going forward. We don't know. He's 38 years old. He'll be 39. Next month. And so he continues to delight us with, he's winding down and boom, he hits 100-mile-per-hour fastball over the wall. And you go, okay, is that slowed down yet? You know, things like that. So I think those are the two things that really stick out to me is, that's what we go to the ballpark or tune in for is we want to see greatness and we want to have something stick in our minds. And if you ask me, I haven't had time to really absorb the whole season yet, but those are the two things that day in and day out, I look for. I get sentimental with stuff like that. So those are the things I've been looking at so far.
Well, enjoy this weekend at home and then on the road and wrap it up next week. Thank you, Joe.
Oh, thanks, Larry. Enjoy that pastry.
I already did. Too late. Joe Block, Pirates broadcaster. And coming up, we're going to check in with Marty. And did you hear what Jimmy Fallon said about Jimmy Kimmel?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.